We are back for another episode of Tough Men of Faith.
What's up, RT?
I'm doing good. We have the one and only Matt Roller.
Yeah.
Thankfully. We need an applause.
Episode number five. Oh, four.
I don't know. He's done a couple when he's been here before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like 15 or 16 probably for Matt.
He's like our most favorite guest.
Is he?
Yeah.
Am I your only guest? No, I heard Mayor Buckley one time, so I know I'm not the only.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else have we had multiple times?
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, Daniel Earle. Yeah, he's been. Do you know Daniel Earle?
No.
Oh, you guys should meet.
Yeah, you'd like to meet him.
Mm. We're going to do a roundtable podcast one day.
Sounds
like
good.
Six cameras, six microphones. And we're going to sit in a big circle, and Blake's going to, you know,
he's going to have a heart attack.
It's going to drive him absolutely nuts. But we're going to have a blast doing it.
I'm just now hearing about this, but I'm excited.
But I think you come. Maybe we get Daniel to come.
Yeah.
Who else is loud that we've had in before?
I know you call Matt loud.
Well, I thought it was going well
it
until
is,
you just said that.
It's a good loud.
Yeah. We've sometimes it can't get loud.
We've had some really soft-spoken people that probably wouldn't work well for that.
Yeah, nah. But hard to be tough men of faith. And
if you're soft-spoken.
Soft-spoken.
Yeah. Maybe it's a good quality.
Maybe it is.
You know, maybe I need to be a little more
you
soft-spoken.
Know, sometimes it wouldn't hurt if you were a little bit more soft-spoken.
See?
Or not speak anything at all.
Yeah.
That would probably
be. Mute the microphone.
Like the other day when we went out to dinner.
That would have been a time.
That would have been a good time.
That would have been a time. Yep.
I give my wife a not-so-great compliment on her hair.
Oh, no.
That she had been working on for like an hour. Oh,
I don't even know if you should talk about this now.
It's okay. It's good now.
No, I don't.
Her hair she doesn't watch this. Right?
No, she does. No, she does.
Yeah, her hair looks much better.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to have dinner together, all of us, so I'd rather.
She won't see it before then. Good thing.
That's true, but then she knows I. Yeah. All right. Let's
knows
just go
that
on.
You know.
Yeah. So Matt agreed to stick around, do another episode with us.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's good to have him on.
You know, last appreciate week we thought we had a plan. Yeah, it's good to be here. It's good to have you, Matt. Thanks, Nick.
Yeah. Get rid of all that. You know.
Yeah. Last week we had a plan.
Like,
we're
now about all the pleasantries are out of the way.
Yeah. Yes. Get down to business. So I was just asking what you're preaching through. You said you're preaching through James.
Yep.
Then you mentioned that you've been getting your sermons from Villa because we preached through it last year.
That's right. Thank you. Bro.
Yeah, you're welcome.
What not to do.
Yeah. We just got ours from some other church. So
it's all research.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I just use AI now. I no longer write sermons.
A little bit of plagiarism.
Yeah.
A little bit of research.
Just have AI, you know, print out the message for you.
I changed a few words. Yeah.
Yeah. Edited a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't want to plagiarize it, but.
Yeah.
You know, wants to call it original.
Yeah.
So he changes the these and thous to those and thems.
Yeah.
You know.
That's good. Hey, we want to get every gender out there. I heard there's like 200 different genders anymore.
You should try having Nick set second row when you preach sometime.
I thought he slept the whole time.
No, he does not sleep.
Nope.
This past week, I was telling Karen last night, because I said something in my sermon. It's like, do you know who drives me nuts? And I look out there,
Nick.
And Nick like immediately perks up. Can't wait to hear what I'm saying next. And he has that stupid grin on his face like he does right now.
Yeah,
and several other people are just waiting to hear what I was going to say next, because they thought I was going to get myself in trouble.
Yeah.
And I
forget what you said, but.
I talked
it wasn't
about
anything real comical, so
no, it wasn't comical. I just said,
I know what you said now.
Yeah,
I remember.
I was talking about Christians who really like they get upset when they face opposition. They're like, this isn't supposed to happen, and you know, they're
I didn't sign up for this,
and then we're kind of working through some things in Acts, and like, hey, this is really what the Christian life looks like. It's like soldiers who sign up, and then you see them interviewed on the news. It's like, I didn't sign up to go to war. I can't believe I'm in war.
Yeah,
I signed up to get free college tuition. Like. You signed up for the Army.
Yeah. Like, that comes with it.
That comes with it.
Yeah.
It's kind
of you want to go to war, go to the Air Force. Big sissies.
It is funny. The last sermon series I did was on Acts, so you must be taking mine.
Maybe. That's probably the reason our church is decreasing in numbers.
Oh. No, that's the presentation, whatever you're delivering.
Yeah, we're actually going up right now, so maybe I should keep preaching your sermons. I don't know.
I'm just going to be quiet here.
Here we go. I can twist it
like
all,
a politician.
This is why you guys cancel lunches. You guys can't even eat anything. You're just back and forth the whole time.
All right, so you're preaching through James.
Yeah.
So I just threw it on you. It's like, hey, let's talk through what you're preaching in James. Great book, practical book.
Love it. Love it so much.
Where are you at right now?
So just did a message on James chapter 2, 1 through 13, and it was so good.
James 2, 1 through 13?
Yeah, it talks about, you know, don't give favoritism to somebody that comes in and they look really good, So if they look like RT, don't favor them. If they look like Nick, really, you know, bad or whatever, don't look down on them. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, and we just went through this recently.
What, you looking bad or
no. No, about not being just friends with the pretty people at church, but you know, reach out to the uglies too, because they need you just as much.
Okay, good. Yeah.
It's basically the message, you know. It's, RT cleaned it up a little bit.
And the church is growing, huh?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, RT cleaned it up a little bit. So.
Yeah, of course. And what was interesting is we had several guys come from a local homeless shelter that morning. And that was kind of funny. I was like, I walk out of my office to the foyer and see these guys coming in. Of course, you know, that if you know anything about me, I lived in that world for a lot of years, worked at the shelter. So I knew that, well, I presumed anyway, that those guys came from that area. And I just went to say hi to them and all those kind of stuff. And then after I shook their hands and welcomed them, I was like, oh, this is kind of funny, you know, it's because these guys.
This is going to be great.
Yes, it's like, Lord, thank you for this great.
All the people at your church think you brought props.
I know. I didn't even do it.
You called Wheeler, and you're like, you know what? I need a busload of guys today.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's sad. I mean, we're laughing and stuff, but. Right.
We're keeping it light, but
we are. But it's really, if anybody would have a prejudice towards a person because they're homeless or they are dirty, they smell bad, all whatever. I mean, I understand not wanting to smell people that smell bad, but if we would say, well, we don't want them here, but hey, as long as you look nice, you know, you look churchy.
Yeah, as long as you fit the part, you can come through the
doors. Yeah, you come through the door. Right. It's like, and you know, now
it's like,
I don't.
Wait a minute, you know, Jesus didn't hang out with those people, right? Jesus hung out with the people that stunk, the people that, you know.
Hung out with the sinner, friend of a sinner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And, but I do think.
That's why RT's friends with me.
Yeah.
Well, he's still got a lot of work to do on YouTube.
He sure
does.
Yeah, we know.
That's really what Tough Men of Faith is. It's a discipleship program that we're recording to have for others. So.
We're going to see your spiritual growth one day.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to be that.
It's so we can all watch next
sanctification. I'm starting to remember some of the sermons.
Well, if you stop making faces at him,
it'll
be all right. But no, I mean, it is a bad thing here in our American culture that if there's anyone that is only wanting people to look like them.
Right.
But, you know, God called us to go out to the highways, byways, old word, right? Yeah. Phrase, verse. But we are supposed to go out to those that need Jesus.
Right.
And that doesn't always look pretty.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was at the shelter, I was super sheltered, you know, before I went to work at the shelter, and very much a Christian bubble that I lived in. And it really, you know, those years were some of the best years of my life.
Yeah.
Because it got me to see people more than what I saw on the outside.
Right.
And one of the teachers I've had in my education, the way he said it, Dr. Wyatt Mullinax is his name. And he would say, you need to look at everybody that you come across as someone that has a sign on their forehead that says for whom Christ died for. And so you start picturing people like, oh, that person. And I think, I mean, in our world, when we have so much weird cultures, not culture's the word, but weird, agendas being pushed on us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we look at the transgender agenda, the LGBTQ and all the other letters that go with that, the wokeism, the, all of the other things that people that, you know, in my position or, you know, kind of like me will look at and say all the ills of our society and we're going crazy. We could look at it that way. Or we can look at it and say, there's a whole lot of people that need Jesus, and I don't care what they look like. I don't care if it's a guy wearing a dress. I'm going to go talk to him and tell him.
Now they put themselves into a group,
Jesus,
and they're easier to find.
Right.
And, you know, now we can just go back to the group and say, look, I finally found you.
Yeah.
What can we do to help?
Yeah. That's where we were at. And I looked at also the parable in Luke chapter 18 when Jesus, it's interesting, he said, when he was talking to people, I'm paraphrasing, this parable that thought they were better than other people. Yeah. And he talked about the Pharisee and the tax collector.
Right.
And the Pharisee says, "Hey, God, thanks for all you've given me, but I'm so glad that I haven't done this or that, or I'm even as bad as this tax collector," right? Yeah. And then he starts talking about all of the stuff that he does. I give tithes, I do this sacrifice and all that. But then the tax collector over there, like way off from the Pharisee, and he just humbles himself and he said, "God, I know I'm a sinner." And the reality is, I find that it's easy in church today to be more like the Pharisee than to be more like the tax collector.
Yep.
Because church is a place where we hide behind a facade that we put up, and we're not often real. But that's what will be projected. I'm good. I'm all right. Yep. Right. And the at least the tax collector knew, "Hey, I'm a mess. I'm a sinner." But yet we have a choice who we're going to act like. And oftentimes, if we're this group that's the Pharisees, religious people that act like everything's good, we don't want to have anything to do with this group over here. Right. Right? We want to always talk about all the stuff we do good. Look what I've done. And you probably have had people here in Villa talk about, "Hey, I've done this and that and this and that." Well, you're supposed to do that because you love the Lord anyway. You don't need to talk about it.
Yeah, shouldn't be doing it for recognition.
Yeah. So anyway, this gets me pumped.
Yeah, it sounds like it. James chapter 2 is your...
Yeah. Well, again, as you said, a very practical book. But just that attitude.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, can I say this? I'm going to say
you want.
It.
You can basically,
Blake can edit it.
No,
if
we don't even
to.
Edit anymore. We just say stuff.
I've been in the same church all my life. I've told you guys this.
Yeah.
I see this attitude when it's out there. I see it more in Baptist churches.
Yeah.
Than others that I know of. And I would say that's not the way it should be.
Right.
That is absolutely not the way it should be. And so Jesus said, you know, James is a lot about faith, living your faith. And he's saying, don't live your faith like you're going to lift up one and put down another group. Like, man, everybody needs to know the Lord.
Well, James 2 is like, how does your faith help you deal with people you don't like?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's the essence of James 2, because it's based the main theme in James. Chapter 2 is like, there's some people you don't like.
Right.
How are you going to deal with them?
Right.
Is what I pick up from James 2.
Yeah.
I would say, so when I was thinking, you know, you're talking about when the homeless people come in or something, but for me, like, I think our churches probably do okay at that. But if we're honest, when someone comes in, maybe... We're in an election cycle this year, a big election cycle.
Of course.
So when someone comes in that sits on the other side of the party, maybe your church is
y'all are okay, but
accustomed to.
Not you.
That's a good point.
All of a sudden you start to see division. Because when you look at James, he's talking to Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free people.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing a lot of division. And then he starts out James 2 saying, "My brothers." So telling them like, "Hey, family."
Yeah, I don't care where
you're
all
sit. Family here. I don't care if you're slave or if you own the slave. I don't care if you're Jew or Gentile. This is how we're going to operate here.
Yeah.
So for me, like, when I start putting language like that, now it'd be Democrat or Republican or Libertarian or, you know, how diverse are we on Sunday morning? And just start going down the track on that.
Yeah. That's a good point, because it's so multifaceted problem, right? It's not just, looking down on a poor person or a gay person or whatever, but it is that. And that divides. I mean, I feel like politics really divides families and churches. And what I said last Sunday in churches, there are church killers, right? Mm-hmm. There are things that will kill the spirit of a church. And oftentimes it comes around, the King James word was partiality. Don't be partial in yourself, right? It's because you prefer one thing and you're not going to want what anybody else has preferred. And it's just a killer. It kills the spirit of a church.
So like, because in James, right, that's where he's saying there too that, hey, if you don't have money, you go sit in the back or sit over here. So I know, like, for us now, the best seats would be the back row seats, so we don't try to do that.
Yeah.
But do we send a message to others that you really don't have a seat at this table?
Mm.
So, hey, we're going to give you a leadership position because you look like me, you act like me, you make about what I make, and we're going to let you lead in this position. Man, you're welcome to come, but just know that you're not taking a leadership position because there's some differences.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned last time we talked, Saul. Like King Saul, they wanted him, like,
yeah,
because he looked really good.
Yeah,
and it turned out really bad.
Yeah,
and so just because somebody has that look and all that doesn't mean it's going to be a good thing.
No.
Yeah. So that spoke, I think, well with our church, and we're a predominantly white church.
Yeah,
but we do have, you know, different groups, and we had some Haitians join our church this past week, and it was just really good. What I loved about this is everybody that stayed and just Pastor the Lion welcoming them to our church, and that was so good. I mean, it did my heart good just to see all of that. Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, what separates the church from any organization in the world is that if you're a member of that body, mm-hmm. of the church, like, you're on equal playing field. With you as the pastor, everyone at the church is on equal playing field, right? I mean, they belong in that church just as much as you belong in that church.
Right.
It has the family idea. So if Nick shows up at Thanksgiving and they start looking like, Nick, you don't make very much in this family compared to your six brothers and sisters or whatever. So you're going to sit over there at the kids' table, right? It's like, no, it doesn't happen because he's a son, right? So he belongs at the table. And that's the same with the church. Nick doesn't really have six siblings. But that's the thing. Like, it doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status is or struggles you may have. You belong here.
So. Yeah. I know we can get mushy sounding when we say stuff like this, but we really have to see value in people.
Yeah.
You know, that every single person has value. Now, you know, from decisions that they made or things that they've done, I think about sex offenders. For most of us, we think about that type of crime. Yeah. We think, well, that's the worst of worst. And I would say, that's up there. It's pretty bad and all that. But does even a person like that have a seat in our church, right? And of course, you have to have some limitations and protections and stuff like that. But what does people look at those group of people like?
Yep.
And I especially understand if you're a mom or dad and you got little kids and, you know, a guy did something to a kid and you're just like, ooh, I get it.
Yep.
There's where you don't have to trust, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's that person still needs Jesus too.
Yeah. Right. When we naturally kind of look down or complain about people who aren't like us.
Of course.
Right. Rich complain about the poor.
Yeah.
The poor complain about the rich.
Yeah.
Young people complain about old people. Old people just complain about young people. Yeah, I was going to say that, and I thought I'm going to refrain. They complain about young people.
Yeah.
You set me up and then walked away again.
Yeah, if you aren't like me, then you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. I mean, of course, Jesus, like, it was the Jews or the Gentiles, right? And when Jesus came, what he did, he says, no more. We're all, broken down. We're all one in Christ. Yeah. Whether, you know, if you're a believer in Christ, and it's like, yeah, but we don't always act like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do we get there?
Yeah. The good news is.
Thanks. Thanks for a little conviction, Pastor Matt. Appreciate you.
That's the Holy Spirit, brother.
Yeah.
No matter how others may treat you, because I think that's where in James 2, mercy triumphs over judgment.
Yeah.
Is that in that? I think that's in that passage.
Yeah.
Is where even if someone treats you bad, even if someone in church treats you bad, God will still show you mercy.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, mercy triumphs. And you can still be part of God's family.
Right.
Yeah. In that same verse is the implication, if you didn't show mercy, you won't get it either.
That's true. How'd you preach that?
I don't know.
Okay.
That was only a couple of days ago, but I forget.
Word for word.
Word for word. I think I just added in a few bullet points, but just let the word speak.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this has been good. Where are we at, Blake, on time? Okay, so we're about at our time.
Okay.
You're a long-winded preacher, right?
I am. I'm sorry. I've been doing better Sundays, but I need to work on it.
No,
here,
this is we're a good time now, but I just know, like, you came to Villa once, and everyone's like, man, I love this preaching, but that's like three. That's like three of your sermons. I was like, well, Matt's three times as smart as I am. So, yeah, we can't invite you when we have two services, because
I know. It'd pour into the next.
How long do you usually preach?
I've actually matured in my preaching. Okay. And I've gotten it down to 35 minutes.
Okay.
So I was, you know, more 45 to an hour, and realized, you know, there's an old saying that most people's mind can't, you know, go as long as their rears can stand sitting there, you know.
Yep.
You lose people's attention after a certain amount of time.
Yeah, about 22 minutes.
Well, I think it depends on the delivery as well.
I think delivery is important, yeah. I'm saying mine's not always the greatest delivery, but hey, I'm still working on
it. No, you do a good job, man. You're fired up, and I listen to your sermons sometimes.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Put you to sleep at night?
I've been known to put, and I got a guy that I put to sleep about every week here at Villa, so it's...
Nick, yeah.
No, it's not Nick.
Well, this is a dear, dear friend, and he's passed away, but there was one time I'm preaching away, and a guy literally, he's older guy, so we're going to blame it on his age.
Yeah.
And,
that's what we'll do, too.
Sits on the back row, but he was on the very end, and he falls over. Like, all I see is legs going over. And from the pulpit, it's just natural reaction. Oh, get him, you know? So I didn't mean to shine light on it, but it was just natural.
I think we're going to get a recliner for this guy.
Well, I mean, it happened to Peter, right, in the Bible?
He did, yeah.
Someone fell asleep, fell out the window.
Peter or Paul?
Paul.
Paul, yeah.
Paul, yeah.
The kid, third floor, he fell.
Yeah, fell. Yeah. So, I mean, if he puts people to sleep, then we're in good company.
I know, yeah. But Paul raised him back, you know, helped. Through the power of God, raise him back to life.
Yeah, so that's what we expect of you, too. So. All right. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
It's been really good, and we'll definitely get you back on. Yeah. And whenever we have that big panel that Nick's talking about.
Oh, yeah. We're doing the round table.
The round table. Round table. We'll bring you on the round table with Daniel Earle and a couple others.
I see Blake's face. He's not into this.
He gets that face. He gets that face every episode.
He'll get over it.
All right. Thanks for listening today.
When you're the talent, you get to make some of the rules.
You know what? I'm just going to let Nick wrap this up when he's ready to wrap it up.
Thanks for visiting. Thanks for watching Tough Men of Faith. Catch us on Instagram, X, YouTube. Like it. Share it. Listen to it. Listen to it again.
Yeah.
If you got any questions, call RT. His email is never mind.
See you guys later.